Hey, Fish Tank family, let's keep it real. Debt can hit hard and it doesn't care who you are, but you don't have to face it alone. I've seen people struggle and I've seen what a second chance can do.
That's facts, Juice. And when it comes to getting folks out from under it, nobody does it better than Van Horn Law Group. Chad and his team don't just talk the talk. They show up and fight for people when they need it most.
Yeah, I've known Chad Van Horn for over a decade. He's a good friend. And more importantly, I've seen firsthand the real results he and his team deliver for people all over Florida. Bankruptcy, debt relief, whatever it takes to help you breathe again.
Over 10,000 people have gotten a fresh start thanks to Van Horn Law Group. No judgment, just real solutions.
Yeah, so if debt is holding you back, call Van Horn Law Group at 954-637-0000 or visit vanhornlawgroup.com for a free consultation.
And if you mention the Fish Tank, they'll even cover the cost of pulling your credit report so you know exactly where you stand.
That's right. Don't wait. Take control and get back in the game with Van Horn Law Group.
All right, Juice, you know how I always say I've got a guy for everything?
Yeah, yes, you do, Big Seth. You've got a guy for printing, a guy for cigars, a guy for, what was it, custom pool flamingos?
Don't knock the flamingos. But when it comes to remodeling your home, my guy is Alvaro Freitas and his crew at Casabella Design Group.
Yes, your favorite contractor, right?
Well, he is my favorite contractor, and he'll be yours as well with just one call. Casabella has been remodeling homes in South Florida for over 20 years. Kitchens, bathrooms, full home renovations, even outdoor spaces that'll make you forget that you live on that cul-de-sac.
And they don't just make things look good. I mean, they handle permits, planning, construction, all the stuff that makes you want to pull your hair out.
Easy on the hair, okay?
Yeah, right, right.
But trust me, Alvaro shows up with a plan, a crew, and he may even bring you a cafecito. The man is a machine.
Yeah, so if you're ready to love your home again, or, I mean, you just want to make your neighbors jealous, head to CasabellaDG.com and schedule your free consultation.
That's CasabellaDG.com and tell Alvaro the Fish Tank sent you. He might even give you a deal, or at least a hug.
Casabella Design Group, proud partner of the Fish Tank. Let's build something beautiful together.
And so we ended up playing a bowl game, believe it or not, a first ever bowl game. And we played against Pensacola Escambia. And they had a running back named Emmett Smith.
That'll do it.
I think they had won the state championship twice, and they had gotten beat also by a rival high school, so they missed out in the playoffs, and we ended up playing Emmett, and he put, like, I don't remember, man, it was at least 250 on us.
Yeah. Welcome back to the Fish Tank, presented by Van Horn Law Group and Casabella Design Group. Seth Levitt and the man with the best hands in the podcast business, he is OJ McDuffie. Juice, this seems like your kind of a day.
You know it is, Seth. I don't even know why you even went there, bro. You know it. This is my kind of dude right here, man, because I love this dude, first and foremost, my side of the football. And also, we had a lot of fun together, man. We played together for the Dolphins, man. So this is going to be a lot of fun today, brother.
Well, you definitely butter up to the quarterbacks because you want to make sure you keep getting the rock. And with that, we welcome in for his first ever, not his first Fish Tank appearance, his first ever podcast interview, Craig Erickson. Craig, man, welcome to the Fish Tank.
Thanks, Seth. Juice, it's great to be here. I'm not nervous. I don't know why.
Because you're a quarterback, man. You cool
veins,
like
man.
That, man. You cool like that, man. God.
No, I've kind of stayed out of it for a long time. But, you know, when Seth reached out to me the other day for a phone number, I was like, oh, my gosh. Of course I'll do this.
That's cool.
I said, OJ's one of my favorites.
It is literally what he said. He's not just saying that for the recording here. It's exactly what he said, and we're glad that you did.
Man. It's reciprocal, Big Seth. It's reciprocal, man. That's a big word like mayonnaise right there.
Mayonnaise words right at the top of the show. I like it. Well, Craig, before
don't ask me to spell that.
There's no spelling here. There's absolutely no spelling in the Fish Tank. So before we get too deep into this thing, first of all, we want to congratulate you, your alma mater, Cardinal Newman. The Crusaders won their first ever state championship. I don't know, you know, were you aware of this? Were you paying attention?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. They came down here to North Miami and beat a really good four-time Chaminade team, you know? So, big upset. It's a long tradition over there, and only a few head coaches ever to coach there at Newman And this one is actually, he went to a rival high school, Jack Daniels. What a great name, huh?
Right.
And Jack is my grade and played baseball against me and football, but he was a real good baseball player. And, you know, he's done a great job wherever he's been. We're happy to have him. And, you know, I followed his career in coaching from when he was at Central and he won a couple times there. And then he, you know, now he's at my alma mater. It's fantastic.
And the state championship, Juice, I couldn't believe when they said it was the first ever. I was like, how did Erickson not win a state championship there? But, you know, we'll get into that.
I had to play Clewiston.
Yeah, there it is.
That's what
I had to play Clewiston, Pahokee, and Belglade.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
That's
in the same year.
The gauntlet. In the same season.
And then my senior year, which was the year we had a shot, we missed it. We were 9-1. We lost to Clewiston in a close ball game. But back then, only one team went from the district, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we ended up playing a bowl game, believe it or not, a first ever bowl game. And we played against Pensacola Escambia, and they had a running back named Emmett Smith.
Yeah, that'll do it.
I think they had won the state championship twice, and they had gotten beat also by a rival high school. So they missed out on the playoffs, and we ended up playing Emmett, and he put like, I don't remember, man, it was at least 250 on us.
Yeah, that tracks. That definitely tracks, and he never stopped. Yeah. But since we're talking about college ball, then not only do you have a state championship for your alma mater there at Cardinal Newman, but now your Miami Hurricanes advance in the college football playoff. They defeat Texas A&M. I think the right first college football playoff victory for a Florida team. And Juice, you were telling me first road game that we've seen in college football. So, you know, we won't talk about your pro teams, but your college team and your high school team are on a hell of a run.
Well, big win to go to College Station. You know, I don't know. I was never had the chance to play there, but you know, that's the original 12th man. And, right. You know, on the road against a good team, you know, that the quarterback at A&M, he's no slouch, man. I watched him play against Texas and he got nicked. And I said, you know, but he wasn't nicked in our game. And he's a good player. He can run, he can throw. And they just, you know, Miami seemed like they had their number from the beginning. And, you know, I guess it was windy. We missed some field goals or what have you. But, you know, all in all, it's like the NFL at this point. It's tough to get a win. And so if you're winning in the playoffs, I think you just take it any way you can get it and try to get to the dance, you know?
Yeah, I think it's all house money right there, man. I mean, you guys, nobody expected the U, other than myself and Hard Rock Bet, to believe that the U was going to win, you know? And people don't understand, man. All these people that want to give SEC so much love and so much attention, man, they don't understand that, you know, even some of these other conferences, ACC, they might not have as many teams, but they're top heavy and they got some badass teams. And UM is playing some really good football right now, you know, considering they started strong, was playing really well, had a couple tough losses in the middle, but the rest of the end of the season, they're really good for the U.
Yeah. They got some playmakers, you know. Yeah. They got some guys that can step up. Look, for me, if your D-line is good, you got a shot. Because, you know, you can set the tone of the game. You can shut somebody down. That's just, you know, whenever I've been on a good football team, the D-line was great, you know. Yeah. They control
the
locker room.
Well, they're well coached, I can tell you that much. They're very well coached.
Let me tell you, JT's into it, man. I mean, and also – what's his name? The Colorado last year or 2 years ago. And shit, he played like a dozen years in the NFL. What's his name?
Damian Lewis. There it is. Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, he's a great player. Yeah.
So, well, look, speaking of Cardinal Newman and the Hurricanes, let's go back to 1987, right? I guess it was around 1987. You're one of the top ranked quarterbacks in the entire country. You're obviously being recruited by every major program in the nation. Tell us how you land at the U. I mean, because, you know, again, South Florida kid, but you're in West Palm. It wasn't like you were in the backyard of the University of Miami. They had a hell of a lineage of quarterbacks, right? Jim Kelly, Bernie Kosar, Vinny Testaverde had just won the Heisman Trophy. Were there any other schools that even had a chance, Craig? And or was there like a story of Jimmy Johnson swooping in to show up at the Erickson household to seal the deal?
Well, they didn't need me. They didn't need me at all. When I was getting recruited, Jeff George, who had signed with Purdue, was going to transfer to the University of Miami.
Oh, wow.
So the next year. Yeah. And if anybody's ever seen Jeff George throw a ball, you know, he can throw the ball.
He can sling it.
He can throw the ball. And so I was recruited by Florida, and they were getting ready to, or they were just coming off probation with the Charlie Pell era. Galen Hall was the head coach, and it just didn't click for me at Florida, to be honest with you. That's where my mom wanted me to go. When I told my mom I was going to Miami, she cried. they had just gotten done with the fatigues and Alonzo and Jerome Brown and the boys, Mel.
Right.
They just lost to Penn State. I remember that.
They just
you set them up for
heavily upset by Penn State, yes. and that, you know, to me, that's our, when you talk about UM football, the 86 Hurricane team is arguably the best team we have, except they never won it. Now, the younger guys would say the 01 team
right.
was better. But, you know, that's debatable because the 86 team was Benny Blades, Mike Irvin, Brian Blades, Brett Perriman. I mean, it was just, oh, my gosh. You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was quite a team.
Yeah, and that's what I was going to say, Craig. Like, I mean, as a freshman, walking into that loaded-ass locker room, man, I mean, you mentioned some of the guys. I mean, even Steve Walsh and all those guys, with Cleveland Gary, I mean, the team was sick. My Randall Hill was my roommate when he was with the Dolphins for, you know, the 1 year or 2 years that was there, man.
Yeah.
Perriman and Blades, man. That had to be sick, man. How about Daniel Stubbs, who's got to be one of the biggest characters you might have seen in your locker room?
All
people, man. And so, yeah. That had to be crazy, man. The team was absolutely stacked.
Yeah, Danny is a good friend of mine, and he was a fifth-year senior. And we used to do that 110 test, the Coach Johnson 110 yards, 16 110s. And Stubby was not a big weight room person or an off-season workout guy, but he could run, man. And he ran those 110s, and it was just – I mean, Randall and I came in together. We were in the same recruiting class. And, you know, Randall wore number 3. Because Deion Sanders had number 2.
Yeah.
Randall came in as a DB. And he was our Deion Sanders. And then Coach Johnson, I don't know, it was within the first week he moved him to offense.
Okay.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he couldn't cover anybody is what you're saying?
Yeah, but he could run forward, man. And he could catch.
And that's straight line.
He was all right. I think we just that year our DBs were pretty good. We had a guy named Tolbert Bain. Back then we used to play a quarter half coverage, and the half coverage is always into the boundary.
Right.
It was a run support corner, and Tolbert to this day he looks like a linebacker playing DB. And you know, he was our guy, and then we had a cover corner on the other side, and I think we were pretty set. And we had some older receivers. That's Coach Johnson for you, you know? I mean, he's got a plan for the future because we had Mike Irvin, Brett Perriman, and Brian Blades.
Right.
And they was, you know, the 10th pick in the draft, second round, all of them Pro Bowls, you know, when they got to the league. And so, you know, pretty talented group. And so I think he just said, put Randall there, learn from these guys, you know? And then next year, you're the man, you know, and you got to have 4 years because Randall and I, you know what? Randall didn't redshirt. He was like me. So, yeah, he played his first year, returning kicks and doing all that and get some time. I mean, I played a little bit my freshman year because we just, you know, we were undefeated that year, guys. We,
right.
You know, I mean, we played Notre Dame, right? We played Florida State. We played Florida in the opener. I say we, but I think I played the last three plays in the game.
Did you dress out, Craig? Craig, you dressed out, right?
I dressed out. Yes, I did.
That's a we thing then. That's a we thing then, for sure.
It was, I think it was 31-4. I felt bad for Kerwin Bell. I mean, he got hit. It was
how'd you guys get to four is my question.
Well, I don't know if you know Willis Pegues. Do you know Willis?
No.
So Willis was a second-round pick for the Houston Oilers, defensive end. He was our long snapper. And he snapped two punts over the punter's head through the end zone. And our punter was Jeff Fiegels, who only played like 25 years in the league.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He couldn't catch
the ball. At one point, Fiegels is ranked 106 out of 106 punters. He was having to chase down snaps, trying to kick the ball.
Is that when Jimmy decided to prioritize special teams after that moment? Jeez.
Oh, man. Now, Coach Johnson, let me tell you, we used to watch special teams as a team.
Right.
And that was the most entertaining half hour, hour, however long it was. That was our team meeting.
Right.
And you wanted to be on special teams because Coach Johnson ran the special teams.
Hmm.
And that's how you got the first t-shirt. That's how you got the first hat, you know, and where you wanted to sit in a good seat on the plane, Coach Johnson.
Yeah. Wow. Play team.
Yeah. You play special teams.
Yeah,
not me.
Yeah, right. Well, we can't jeopardize the court. So Craig, I mean, let's talk about this a little bit, man, because let's dive a little bit deeper in this. You talk about your freshman year, you played a little bit, but you guys go 12-0, win national championship as a freshman. Then it's like 11-1 the following year to finish second in the country. And then Jimmy Johnson leaves and Dennis Erickson comes in. He takes over, you know, you guys aren't related, are you?
No relation. Everybody thinks still to this day.
Right.
Play for your dad.
You know, nepotism, but it works out because you guys are still successful. You know, it doesn't matter here.
If Craig was there first, is it reverse nepotism?
That's a good point. Like, that's right. Craig recruited him. That's right. Nice. That's right.
And fellas, you know, Dennis came in to a hostile team because we all wanted Gary Stevens. Because Gary was the offensive coordinator, and then he didn't go with he thought he was going to get the job.
That's
he didn't go to Dallas with Coach Johnson, ended up at the Dolphins.
Yeah.
When Mr. Jankovic hired Dennis, and Dennis kept a few people on, Coach Solinger, Coach Kehoe, a lot of the defensive guys stayed on. That's where Ogeron got his first job.
Mm.
Coach O, Tommy Tuberville. He was a volunteer grad assistant. He became linebacker's coach and then ended up kind of becoming the defensive coordinator and quietly, running Coach Johnson's defense, you know, and Coach Weinstein's. That was the 4-3 that those guys, but I mean, we had in 89, I tell everybody, man, we won the national championship in 89. We lost to Florida State. I didn't play that game. I broke my hand against Michigan State in like the third or fourth week of the season, and my throwing hand, and so we go to we lose to Florida State. We beat Notre Dame. That was year Colorado. Notre Dame beat Colorado, so we beat Alabama in the Sugar Bowl, and we were declared the national champs. But we had on that team six. I talk about the D line. We had six D linemen, and I'll never forget it because. Tuberville, one day we went out to practice and they had five defensive linemen in on the same play, and they lined with two linebackers, and Tuberville was like, "Well, I'll put my best five guys on the field," you know? And we just, I mean, Cortez Kennedy, Russell Maryland, Jimmy Jones, Shane Curry, we had they all were in the. Greg Mark was the lowest pick. Yet he was the all-time sack leader for the University of Miami. And he was in the third round to the Philly Eagles. And he was the best player on our defensive line, college player.
Loaded.
Yeah. Damn. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, you couldn't. That's one hell of a run, man. That had to be bananas, man.
Yeah. Well, practice was a lot harder than the games, to be honest with you.
Right. That's a beautiful thing. It's like Penn State wrestling, Big Seth. It's harder to get, you know, out of the wrestling room than it is to get on the mat. You know
like
what I mean?
Penn
Once you get
State
on the mat,
wrestling.
You're in good shape.
Past the restroom.
Getting out of the wrestling room is the problem. That's the same thing at the U. You know what I mean? I got to have something to fall back on, man. Come on, man.
Of all the things I expected to hear in this interview, Penn State wrestling was not on the – yeah. Well, but I understand.
Hey, Penn State could turn around really quick, you know? I don't know what happened up there. I like that coach. You know, I don't know. I mean, it's, you know, above my pay grade.
Right.
But, you know, obviously they have their reasons. And, you know, maybe the time has come or what have you. But they can turn around very quick. That's a tradition. You know, some of my favorite guys that I played with or against were from Penn State with Joe Pa. You know, I mean, they ran a program. It's just a great place.
Yeah, appreciate that, Craig. Yo, I appreciate that love because, you know, UM is now my second favorite college team. So, you know what I mean?
How about that?
We've got a lot of adopted guys, man.
That's right. That's right.
I tell you what, we used to call Emmett Smith, they used to call him Baby Kane out in Dallas.
I believe it. Once Irv put his arm around him, right, Michael?
Right, or kiss him on the side of his cheek.
Well, that's a whole other podcast. So, all right. Well, look, despite the fact that the guy who signs my paychecks gets his signed by the University of Miami, this is a Miami Dolphins podcast. We're going to get to your Miami Dolphins run, but how you landed back here in Miami, I think, is every bit as important in telling your story. So, as Juice just mentioned, your first three college seasons was the stuff of legends. You follow that up with another incredible year. Your senior year, you guys are 10-2. I think finished like third in the country. You're one of the nation's top passers. I know, I have to imagine your eyes were set on what was going to happen next in the draft, your NFL career. But then as you're preparing for the Hula Bowl, you have this knee injury that I would guess turns your world upside down.
Yeah.
So to the extent that you're comfortable talking about it, Craig, would be interested to hear kind of what went on, just a series of events that had one of the most decorated Miami Hurricanes quarterbacks in history end up drafted in the fifth round in 91 by the Eagles. And then the following year, you're drafted again in the fourth. Like, if someone just looks at that, we're like, wait a minute. So then the Bucks draft you in 1992 the following year. Can you kind of walk us through that period of
your life? There's two players that ever had that happen.
Craig Harrison. You know,
and Bo Jackson.
That's good company.
Right. That's great company right there, Craig.
And the Bucks, involved in both?
Yeah. Bo Jackson.
Yeah, I feel like the Bucks maybe drafted him first. That's actually, I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, they did. The Bucks drafted him, and if you watch that 30 for 30, he was upset with them because they ruined his eligibility.
Right.
Oh, wow.
With baseball.
Baseball eligibility, yes, right.
Yeah,
because
he took a plane trip, and, you know, back then they had a bunch of rules. Probably too many, but he was, you know, he went and played baseball, and you know, I mean, well, Bo Jackson's Bo Jackson, guys. Come on,
right?
Yeah, say no more.
I'm not Bo Jackson's category. That's what you get. You know, the thing is, I mean, I got drafted by the Eagles, and I went to a training camp, which was 2 days after the draft. I wasn't practicing. I had a pretty severe injury. I had nerve damage and everything else. That's why. You know, when I see a knee injury, they're all different. Mm-hmm. And when you hear about a artery damage or nerve damage, it's a little bit more complicated. And so I had one of those. But thank God I was a quarterback and I was able to – I didn't have to move like they do today, right?
Yeah.
So anyhow, I got drafted. And the Eagles at the time, Randall Cunningham was coming off an MVP. NFL MVP, and they had Reggie White, Jerome Brown, Seth Joyner, Dirty Waters was there. They had Fred Barnett was a receiver. He was a second-year player. And I went out to that mini camp, and I said, holy shit, man. I said, I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was just like Randall Cunningham throwing a football. I said, I got to study a lot. I got to do something to be as good as this guy because this guy is at a whole nother. I'd never seen anything like it.
Right.
Wow. You know, and I never had. I was, you know, I saw Steve Walsh throw the ball. He ain't Randall Cunningham.
Nobody has ever confused the two. No.
And then Randall was, he was covering, it was mini camp, it's just helmets, and he's covering Fred Barnett in one-on-ones. He's like, I can cover you. I'm going, what? Barnett. You know, it was like, and Jim McMahon is throwing to him. And Jim McMahon was no slouch either. Right. I mean, he had a bad injury, you know, but he was a great athlete. I went to Georgia, University of Georgia, and coached quarterbacks. Ray Goff was the head coach. And a guy named Steve Ensminger, who was Ed Ogeron's offensive coordinator at LSU when they won it with Joe Brady. But Steve was a senior, long time, brilliant, brilliant offensive coordinator. Steve was a quarterback coach. Eric Zier was a quarterback. And so I spent a year rehabbing my knee doing that. I went back in the draft. And
so did you not – was there – you didn't sign with them? And forgive me for cutting
correct.
In. I just wanted to –
correct. Okay. Yeah, if you don't sign, you go back in the draft.
Okay. You guys couldn't come to an agreement. Okay.
I thought I knew more than I did.
Got it.
Probably should have. But it worked out for me because I got to Tampa. And then and Vinny was a starter. Steve DeBerg was the backup. And, you know, great mentors, great guys. You know, taught you what to do, what not to do. Steve taught you what not to do more than what to do. Vinny, you know, again, another just, I mean, I don't know, guys. I don't know how many yards. I think he played 25 years in the NFL and 50,000 yards. You know, that's another guy. I've never seen anybody throw the vertical game. Well, there's two guys. And it's the guy that's on that wall out there, number 13. And Vinny Testaverde throwing, Danny will get mad at me, but Vinny Testaverde could throw the four verticals. I mean, you know, in the seams back in the day, that's what we did. And I've never seen anybody do it right. Like him, except for Dan Marino. Right. And, you know, I mean, he was at that level with that particular reads. And stuff. These guys can just, you know, that's where you sit there and go, oh, man, all right, well, I'm not going to do that as well as him.
Crazy.
You know, Juice was like, you get out there trying to run a 4.3. You ain't gonna run a 4.3.
No, I'm not gonna run a 4.3 ever.
Yeah. Right. But you're gonna run that pivot route 8 yards.
Damn
and get
right,
the ball.
Craig. You damn right. I'm quick, not fast, but I'm quick. Goddamn. Well, you know, speaking of that, Craig, man, forgive us for kind of wrestling through this, man. But let's get to you as my teammate, man. So after 3 years in Tampa, the final two as a starter. I mean, you traded to Indianapolis for a first round draft choice, which means that. There's a lot of value there because it's hard to get first round value out of anybody anymore, it seems like, man. But after just 1 year, the Colts released you a week before the 96 season and it's about to start. Your old coach gives you a call talking about returning to Miami. What were the expectations that Jimmy set when you got here and how quickly did those expectations change?
No, I mean, it was Miami was great, you know. I tell you, Coach Johnson is just a phenomenal head coach. You know, he's a great motivator, evaluator, you know, and I think you appreciate him more and more the further away you get from things and some of those, you know, some of his principles that he had and what he does. Gary Stevens, it was a very comfortable. He's a quarterback. He's a great play caller, as good as I've ever been around. And then, you know, being able to go to Miami and back up Dan Marino was, you know, again, you know, it's the greatest practice I ever saw a quarterback play was my first practice at the Miami Dolphins. Mm. Bernie Kosar's the backup. And we run a 7-on-7. And I think Danny wanted to show me who the man was because I never seen anything like it. And I looked at Bernie and I mean, it was like game day. I'd never seen anything like it. And I looked over at Bernie and I go, does he do this all the time? He goes, oh yeah, but I think he's showing off for you, Eric.
I could hear Bernie saying that too.
You didn't get a rap.
Yeah, bro.
I was like, you know, Bernie didn't get to take a rap. Nobody got a rap. Danny took every rep. You know, it was like, but I mean, it was pretty cool. And, you know, what people don't realize, yeah, he's talented. Dan was a great leader and everything else. Great teammate. But, man, he studied too, you know. He would take notes. We had that first meeting on Wednesday. And I would, you know, I was a big film guy. So I would do as much as I could to get as much insight into the game plan and contribute as much as I could on Wednesdays. And we might cover something. and it doesn't show up again until Sunday. And I'll be damned if Marino doesn't do it perfectly. What happened when we practice on Wednesday? I mean, I was like, oh, my God. He's like, yeah, don't you remember? Whoever won. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to throw the go. You know, remember the guy I told you, 13? He's a takeoff candidate. I'm going, oh, my God.
Takeoff candidate.
I love that.
Oh, yeah. He would sit there in the film room and he goes, oh, I know who the takeoff candidate is this week.
What if going bankrupt was the best thing that happened to you? Whether it's your wages being garnished, car repossessed, house foreclosed, or you're suffocating with debt, a good bankruptcy attorney can give you peace of mind that you need and deserve. My name is Chad Van Horn from Van Horn Law Group, and I've personally seen people thrive after filing for bankruptcy. The shame of bankruptcy is just a ploy to keep you in debt forever. There is no shame to work with Van Horn Law Group to get rid of your debt for good. If you're ready to get your life back, call us today. Se habla Espanol.
So good.
But Craig, I mean, honestly, like, almost immediately after you signed, though, I mean, you, 3 weeks later, Danny gets hurt, and you're starting against Seattle in a rainy, shitty game, bro.
Yeah. That was, and, you know, that's a credit to Coach Stevens, to be honest with you. He pared things down, made it click. Yeah, Danny went down. John Uribe came over to me on the sidelines and goes, get ready. I said, why? I thought it was like a twisted ankle. And he's like, he's out 4 weeks. They're going to take and get an MRI, but I already know it. Mm. And they had to put a screw in his ankle, you know. And and Bernie, you know, we were playing the Colts. And Bernie, man, talk about taking a beating. Oh, my gosh. Bernie got, he just looked at the top of the RCA. Holmes got beat up a little bit. Bernie got beat up, but yeah, then it was, in the rain, and I played a few games, and we were pretty good. You know, we were Coach Johnson's first year, but I mean, you could tell that the team was gonna, you know, with a healthy Marino. I mean, I think they drafted Yatil that year, didn't they?
Just, I believe so.
Second, 97.
Year. Was that second year?
97, they did.
Jimmy Sexton,
Daryl Gardner.
Daryl Gardner was the first pick.
If Yatil Green did not get hurt the way that guy had so much promise,
totally
I was
agree.
Like, he was the real deal. And for you, Juice, you know, you're on the other side or inside or wherever.
Yeah,
I mean,
man. I would.
You know.
His injury hurt me, Craig. His injury hurt me. You know,
it did hurt you. It really did. I mean, I think about that all the time because I remember we talk about it in quarterback meetings. We're like, hey, man, this kid, he's going to help like right away, you know?
Yeah, buddy.
Yeah. But things happen, man.
That's the league, though. That is the league, though, Craig. You know what I mean? There's a lot of guys that, you know, that could have been and would have been great, man. But these injury bugs that bite some of these kids, man, or some of these players, man, it's tough, bro. And they never get the opportunity. Happens in every league, though, professionally, but definitely we've seen a lot in football for sure.
Yeah, 100%, man. I mean, remember the kid that in the flag football game? What was his name? Edwards from New England?
Right, in the sand when the Pro
Robert
Bowl.
Edwards. In the sand.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, the Georgia kid, he was great. And then, you know, in the Pro Bowl,
And we had him for.
Well, that's where I hurt
years.
My knee. You know, I blew my knee out in the Hula Bowl in an All Star game.
Right.
And then, you know, I had to take the year off. But.
And then these guys, these people talk about these kids not playing in these bowl games, these meaningless bowl games. You know, and the money's too great nowadays. Now, I mean, you talked about, you made a comment earlier about Randall Cunningham guarding Fred Barnett in practice. That will never happen anymore.
Right.
They will never mess around like that again. You know what I mean? There's way too much money. Are you out of your mind, Randall? You know what I mean?
Fred would probably disagree with me. Not that he really remembers me.
He remembers.
Yeah. I'm sure he does. So Craig.
I know he remembers Randall Cunningham.
Damn right he
does. He definitely does that. So, you know, you're saying, and I just texted Juice, I go, let's say the names that Craig's been associated with through his journey, all these different names.
Yeah.
And you know, you're saying them because it's part of your story. These are the guys you played with, played against. I want to back up to Dan Marino. And you just kind of that was the moment, was that 7-on-7 practice. But you're a kid who grew up in South Florida, and at the time that you were really making your name as a youth player was when Danny was changing the offensive passing game in a lot of ways. Like, did you watch him as a young quarterback? Could you, you know, did you look at him? And then here you are at this stage of your career after you, you know, you took your lumps as a pro and you end up in this room with, I don't want to call him, you would have to tell me, was he your childhood hero, but certainly a guy that you had to admire. And then Bernie, who was the godfather of this lineage of UM quarterbacks that you are a part of. What was there something special about, with all the shit that you had to deal with, about landing in that space, in that room with those guys and being able to kind of be around that familiarity and a group of guys like that? What did that mean to you?
It was a great room, you know? I mean, Bernie was, you know, super smart. Everything you hear about Bernie as a player, accurate, you know, he was awesome. And Danny, I mean, he's one of the greatest ever to play the game, you know? I mean, I get it. There's, you know, as the game goes on, there's going to be lots of guys, but I don't know how many yards Dan Marino would throw for in this day and age.
Right.
You know, I mean,
he says 7K. He says 7K, Craig. That's his number. 7K. Well,
I ain't gonna argue with him because what I remember when I was playing for the Bucks, my first year starting, I played. I think I started 15. I didn't come out because I was too afraid I was gonna lose my job. I played hurt.
Right.
You know, Brett Favre had nothing on me when it came to Vicodins and Cordals and everything else.
Unfortunately,
But I wasn't coming out of the game. And so I threw for 3,000 yards. And back then, that was a big deal. I think it was like 4,000 today, you know? And Dan Marino had thrown for 5,000 yards.
Mm, yep.
And so I think today the benchmark is maybe 4, right? I don't know. It used to be 3. You know, 6. So I don't know, man.
Right.
I have no idea. Right. But, you know, I remember, ask Richmond Webb, you know? I mean, Keith Sims, those guys that block for the guy, you know how many times he saved their ass getting rid of the ball?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know?
Yep.
Yeah, that release was absolutely ridiculous, man. I mean, as a wide receiver, get your head around like Linda Blair, you always said, man. So, yeah, it was you better be ready. Or that fastball's coming.
And then he would throw the back shoulder throw. Before it even was invented.
Before it was popular, right? Yeah, exactly. Oh,
I never could do it. You know, I was like, what the hell are you doing? Oh, don't worry about it. You know? one minute's over here, the next minute's dropped in perfect. You're like, how does he do this? What was it? I think his college coach, not to make this a Dan Marino podcast, but his college coach was Jackie Sherrill.
Right.
And he would tell a story that his freshman year, Jackie Sherrill walked up to him and says, Danny, how you doing, kid? Okay, good. Okay, great. Okay, listen, see all these coaches out here? Any of these coaches tell you how to throw the ball, you come over to me and tell me, because do not let anybody tell you ever to how to throw the ball.
That's good advice.
Right.
Now, where to throw the ball, that's okay. But how to throw it, which, you know, nobody ever taught me how to throw the ball, to be honest with you. You know, you kind of mimicked different, you know, things on a deep ball or out route or footwork and all that to put yourself in this position. But, you know, I mean, there's the guys like Aaron Rodgers and Brett Favre that can just flat out throw the ball, you know, Dan Marino's, Randall Cunningham. I mean, you know, there's guys that are blessed and there's other guys that have to work out a little bit more, you know?
Yeah. You know, Craig, we talked a little bit about this and I hate to go back a little bit, but, you know, we talked about Gary. And Gary, you know, you said he's a great offense coordinator, which he was, but he was also a hell of a character. You know what I mean? He was definitely a character. And everybody we've talked to that has been around Gary's had some great stories. So all I really want from you right here, just give me one of your best Gary Stevens stories, bro.
Okay. Well, he was my quarterback offensive coordinator my freshman year in college. So Gary was a chain smoker and would smoke cigarettes. And we had the old film, the real, real film, the black and white. Ding, 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 ding. And so he would sit there and go from one cigarette to another in this little room at the Heck Center that does it. I don't even know what it's still there, but I don't even know what the room is anymore.
Probably a closet.
Before the offices. And Gary would sit there and film at all. Everybody would get out, and he would stop the film. Receivers would leave. Offensive line would leave. Defensive line. Everybody would stop. He'd leave the door open, and he would talk to everybody as they were leaving. Everybody would stop, and everybody was going. And Steve and I were the only two quarterbacks in there, and we were sitting there. We'd be there till 11:30 at night after practice. I mean, 3-4 hours. The meeting started 7 at night.
Right.
We'd be there till 11. And so I said to him one day, I was my first semester, I was in engineering. I was an engineering major for one semester. And I had a calculus test, a college calculus test. And we were playing, I don't know who, but we were favored by 40, right? On Saturday. And it was Thursday night, and I had a test. Maybe it was Wednesday. I had a test the next day. And I said, hey, coach, I said, is there any chance that we can, you know, leave early tonight? Because I have this calculus test tomorrow. Boy. And Gary looks at me and goes, he stops the film. Steve kind of cringes. And Gary looks at me and goes, what do you have Saturday? I said, oh, we're playing University of Maryland Saturday. And he goes, no, but what do you have Saturday? He goes, is it not a test? I said, well, yeah. I mean, it's a game. Yeah, it's a test, Craig. It's a test. Every week is a test. Now, which one is more important, tomorrow's test or Saturday's test? And I go, well, Saturday's test, coach. Kept the film on. We were there at midnight.
And that was it. He just kept rolling.
I failed the calculus test.
Oh, gosh.
And you failed your test.
I failed it. I was like, oh, heck with this, man. I mean, I got to figure something else out. I'm not going to be an engineer.
That was right? The last time that was your major. That was done with it.
What test is more important? Saturday's test, coach.
To say,
okay,
right,
then.
Right.
We're going to stay. He lit up another cigarette.
Too funny.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's too funny. Well, you know, you mentioned it at the top of the show. When I talked to you and asked you about this, he's like, I love Juice. I'm in. Absolutely. I called Juice, and I said, hey, guess who I just talked to? And he said, who's that? I said, Craig Erickson. He goes, the fucking best. Yeah. It's like literally what his words are. He goes, that is my dude.
Yeah.
So I want to tell me about just this connection that you guys developed. Because, look, I get it. You were, you know, the number two quarterback on the roster. You did get thrust into play. You threw 4 touchdowns that year. Half of them were to this guy, to my co-host here.
Wow.
What was it about OJ that just, you know, that you guys getting thrown into the fire, that you guys connected, and how valuable was it to have a guy like him on?
I tell you, the thing I remember about, like, you always remember one thing about a guy, and OJ was, you know, as good a hands as they get, right? But the one thing that people probably, I don't know what we called that toss play where you cracked the defensive end.
Toss crack. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Seth.
Outlaw.
Seth. Seth. OJ would be banned from the league. I mean, there's got, like, I played with John Lynch in Tampa. John Lynch could not play in today's game, right?
Right.
OJ would have been banned from the league. He knocked. I was like, I mean, seriously, Juice, who did you ever have to crack? Like, did they ever ask you to crack Lawrence Taylor or like somebody like that or White?
I got like Derek Thomas and guys like that.
Oh,
I caught some big names, man. I was worried about them trying to get me afterwards too, bro.
Oh, did they take it out on the quarterback?
Well, you know what? I don't care.
Oh my gosh.
Now I need to go back and look.
And then Gary highlight reel. Hey, Gary Stevens used to call the play, and that demented, that's the best Gary Stevens story, because Gary would sit there and go, I'm going to crack that guy.
Right.
And here comes Juice.
And then Craig, he became dangerous for us. You know what I mean? They saw us so much. You see so much on film. It's like, oh, hell no. This dude is looking at me. He's looking directly at me now.
Oh, my God.
You know, I mean, I tell the Mo Lewis story all the time. I had crack on Mo Lewis, and I swear I hit Mo Lewis so hard, and it was like a cartoon character, Craig, where I just slid down his body, man. Like, He didn't move anywhere, man. Like, they knew it was coming. They were turning their back to me. It was like, it was crazy, man. Gary tried to set me up, man, for failure.
I'd never forget that. I never saw the play before until we used to run it with tight ends called a wham block inside. Right. I had never seen a receiver crack a linebacker, a defensive end until I got to the Dolphins. I go, oh my gosh. And we didn't have anybody else doing it. Right. Can you imagine Lamar trying to do that?
No. Lamar would turn it down. He would turn it down.
He would have cracked.
Yeah, he would turn it down.
I used to enjoy the Penn State stories from Juice because, you know, it's a similar program to UM. I mean, at the time, the boys were there. It was you guys ain't that much different than us. You could have played with us. Oh yeah, you would have fit Kajana Carter. I remember meeting him for the first time. Like, man, you're the real deal. You know,
right.
You know, playing against Shane Conlon. He was playing for the Rams, and the thing I remember two things about Shane Conlon, a great linebacker, right? He had the biggest head I've ever seen in my entire life. He had like a size 10 helmet. Right. And I'm going, oh my God, this, no wonder he's playing linebacker. He's going to kill somebody. And then he knocked out, we had this guy named Ty J. Armstrong, tight end. Ty J. was this big blocking tight end. And he cheap shotted, allegedly, Conlon earlier in the game.
Allegedly.
And then I don't know, it was 15 minutes later, Ty J.'s laid out. Gone. And I'm like, what the hell happened? And Conlon comes over to me and goes, yeah, I don't forget, man. I'm going, oh my God.
I don't forget.
This guy had a size 10 helmet. He had the smallest calves, like my size calves. I'm not the biggest, toughest guy on our team field. I was like, oh. And he was on the 86 team that beat
right,
the
Hurricanes. Right, the Cavs championship team.
Yep.
Yes, he was.
Yep.
Oh my God! Oh, let's keep it going, Seth, with some more some more characters, some more familiarity, man.
Yeah,
because Craig,
walk out. I'm gonna take you to my truck and get my charger. I can't find a fucking charger.
Yeah,
we'll just roll with you. That's all right.
You're good, man. So Craig, you know, you and I may have connected, but the wideout you knew better than anyone else was my man Lamar Thomas. You and LT, man, you played together for 2 years at UM,
everywhere.
Two seasons in Tampa, and two more seasons right here in Miami. You know, if Gary was a character, man, how would you characterize Lamar Thomas?
That's the most difficult thing ever. I see Lamar, and I'm still a little – I still don't know what's going to come out of Lamar, you know, even today, 57 years old.
Right.
Oh, he's a beauty, man. I had Lamar and Horace Copeland in the same rookie class Tampa when I was a second year. I think I was a second-year player there. And, wow, that was – Horace, you know, that guy could run. He was state triple jump champ. Maybe state long jump champ. And then, you know, he didn't always catch it, but he was going to be open.
Right. Oh, no, that's good.
Oh, I see. Yeah, for sure.
He was something.
Lamar's the same guy, though. He's the same guy, Craig, for sure.
Yeah, Lamar. He came out of, I think, Jacksonville, right?
Ocala.
Yeah.
Gainesville, Ocala.
That's
it is
what he claims. Yeah.
What benefits the story.
Yeah.
Because I remember he was a big recruit. And he came in, and he was Mike Irvin. And Mike Irvin had left, but he was Mike Irvin first day. You know, at least he was telling you he was. Right.
Right. Oh, it's too good.
Very confident. I like Lamar. He was a good teammate, man.
Good stuff.
Competitive. He didn't like to lose.
Oh yeah. Oh, he's still mad at me because I have better numbers than him. We played against UM, you know, home and away, you know. And he was mad that when he came to Penn State that they were chanting my name and all his teammates. Of course, UM players are great about this, where, you know, telling LT's like, hey, nobody brought the house down like this, man. You know, so LT was so pissed until we met at Combine. We became friends. We met at Combine and became friends, but he hated me before that, Craig.
Oh, God.
You hit me before that, man. All
right, I think he thought he was faster than he was.
Mm. Right.
You know? Right. I think he thought he was a 4.4, but he was more of a 4.55.
4.55, not even 4.50. 4.6.
Oh, nah, I don't think so, man. I don't know.
This is good though, because we've been trying to get LT on the show,
right.
And this so we're going to send him this clip. That's how we got Terry Kirby, right? We couldn't get TK on the show, and then Mark Dixon.
That's another great guy, man.
Mark Dixon questioned his shooting, and then he wanted to come right on the show to be able to retort. So yeah, we'll get him.
So Craig, we're well over 250 shows. Big Seth, 280.
Yeah, we're right in there.
Yeah, we're way up there. So yeah, we get a lot of guys that, you know, feel like they got to come and rebut some of the stories that have been told on the Fish Tank. You know, everybody's got different memories of stuff, you know, and then, you know, of course, with football players, half the shit's true and half isn't, you know, so, you know, but I know, but quarterbacks always tell accurate stories. It's the other dudes that always mess things up, Big Seth.
Well, I tell you, this week, let's see, my big dilemma in the business now is we have on New Year's Eve, we have UM who's going to play Ohio State, right?
Mm-hmm.
New Year's Eve. And so I was a year ahead of Mario Cristobal. He's 1 year behind me. Yeah. And so Mario and I spent a lot of time together. And I'm very, very, you know, in Mario's corner, big fan. He's, you know, I can only tell you that nobody's going to outwork this guy, man. He'll put the hours in. I mean, I wouldn't want to work for him. Grinder. That's why I can't believe JT is still doing it, you know.
He's definitely grinding.
JT must be a grinder also, because these guys put the time in the office, on the field, try to get every edge they can. And, you know, I'm rooting for those guys. I hope they can, you know, pull it off. It's going to be they got a tall task at hand. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I think if I'm Ohio State, you know, it's probably the one team I probably wouldn't want to see is these guys are Alabama, right?
Right.
You know, and just or Indiana again. And, you know, the funny thing is where I'm from, guys, down here in Miami, at Christopher Columbus High School is where my two boys went to school.
Oh, wow.
And hopefully my 14-year-old goes there next year. And they all come to my restaurant here. They're all nice. The Columbus. It's the Columbus Mafia. And we have got Mendoza Mania like you wouldn't believe. I mean, yes, we're going to watch the Hurricanes. But then everybody's talking about Indiana. And we couldn't be happier for that guy.
That is amazing.
It's pretty wild.
And the thing is, you know, for the high school, we've been following him since Cal, you know. His uncle comes into one of my restaurants down south, and he's always talking to me about, hey, what do you think? What do you think? I said, I think he's going to be good. I think I watched the Cal game, you know, and I'm not going to watch Cal. Okay. But I used to watch Mendoza at Cal just because he was a local kid, you know?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. I used to watch Lamar Jackson at Louisville before Lamar Jackson, because he's from St. Aloysius High School, which is my high school, you know, near my high school. And my dad, to this day, still talks about, man, I remember Lamar Jackson in high school. And I go, oh, my God, Dad.
So, Craig, we end each episode with two really, really fun segments, man. The first of which we like to call Fish Tank Numerology. So as far as I can remember from UM to Tampa to the Colts and certainly with the Dolphins, I could, you know, count on Craig Erickson showing up with just one number, the number 7 jersey, man. So what's the story behind the omnipresent number 7?
My high school football coach gave me that number, and everybody assumed I liked it. And everybody gave me that number. And then
Well, you never asked for it anywhere else? It just kept showing up?
No, never asked. Never asked. But the only place I asked for it, they said, the equipment guys, this is a true story. So when I was released from the Dolphins, I sat out for 8 weeks, believe it or not. I was the first quarterback, you know, off the street to get picked up. And 8 weeks, not a single NFL quarterback went down that year.
Wow.
Not a single guy. I was the first guy. I mean, nobody went down. And so, and I was. In week 9, 8 or 9, I got signed by Chicago Bears. So I go up there, and so I'm in the equipment room, and they're like, okay, what number you want? Like, oh, I guess I'll take 7. And they looked at me, and they're like, what? And I go, yeah, I've been 7. Let's take 7. They're like, you can't have 7. George Halas was 7. And
I
go, fuck.
I didn't even know that one.
George Halas.
Right.
So I'm like, I said, okay, I'll take 19. I'll be Barney Kosar.
Right.
Yeah. Coach Budnick gave me 7 my sophomore year in high school when I started for Newman. And I just, you know, I guess it was available everywhere, you know.
That's funny. Our last two, Juice, normally we're getting these great stories about the reason why, and I wanted to be like Tony Dorsett and all this stuff. The last two, offered all, was the same thing. Well, I went right here, and it's what they gave me. And I went here, and it's what they gave me. So he did say that it's not the number that makes the player, it's the player that makes the number. So there you go, Craig Erickson.
No, well,
except for Chicago.
You know.
Right.
It just so happens there's a lot of sevens and quarterbacks, you know, I guess that used to be back in my day, you know, I mean, there was quite a few of them. I mean, I grew up watching John Elway, you know,
right.
And
that was pretty good number 7.
Yeah, pretty good number 7. I got to play John Elway actually in Tampa. We actually knocked him out of the playoffs before they won the Super Bowls a couple years before. And I was in Denver. Carl Mecklenburg was their linebacker.
Oh, wow.
And yeah, he chased me down one time and I ran like across the field. I'm not very fast and neither is he. And so he like tackles me by the ankles. I get the first down. We're both laying there and he looks at me and goes, please don't ever do that again.
Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great.
What a great 5,000 feet. That's no joke.
Was he 77?
In Denver, man.
Was he 77, Craig?
Yes,
he was.
Yes.
77.
That's a lot of
7.
Blonde hair, Evans, big like, white guy, run stuffer, you know.
Please don't ever do that again. That is
please
awesome.
Don't, he goes, please don't ever do that again.
Too good. So our final segment in the fish tank, Craig, is the fish tank 2-minute drill. Nobody handles 2-minute drills better than our quarterbacks, right, Juice? So
that's correct.
Boy.
We're
correct.
Putting 2 minutes on the clock. If you need timeouts, you let us know. A few fast-paced questions, and we'll get you out of here so you can go back and run that restaurant. Sound good?
Okay. Yeah, sure. All right. Love it. Love it.
All right, Craig, here we go. We'll get it started. You wore the famous creamsicle uniforms for 3 seasons in Tampa, and then in 1996 joined us in Miami for the final year of the original Dolphins fit. Which of the two throwbacks do you prefer, and who has the league's best throwback uniforms now?
Tampa, for sure.
That creamsicle.
I still have that jersey, and yeah. – And let my kids wear that to school for throwback day or jersey day. And that gets, you know, 100%.
Yeah.
The second part of that was the least what?
Well, who has the best
of
the
best? Who has the best? So I'm sure it's Tampa could have both, right? The best.
Tampa is the answer to both of these?
Both could be.
Yeah, Tampa's
pretty sick.
They are. They were ugly back then, man.
Oh, yeah. But now though, right?
Nostalgia, yeah, baby. Now there's, yeah, see? Things will just wait long enough, things will come around. All right. For many, many years, you were actually a yacht broker. Of course, you and I talked a lot about, you know, the business you were doing with JT. Mm-hmm. Which
yep.
of your – so JT had a yacht, but which of your former Miami Dolphins teammates should never even think about owning a boat?
Robert Bailey. I don't think he was my teammate. Called me for a boat one day. I said, Robert, go rent the boat. Don't do it.
He didn't even hesitate, Juice.
Right.
He didn't even hesitate.
All right, so
oh,
we
but
mentioned...
Craig, I got a place to keep it. I said, Robert, yeah, don't buy a boat.
Don't do it.
Hilarious.
All right, so you mentioned you played with Lamar Thomas under Sam Weiss, and you talked about the fine system. How much cash do you think LT ended up handing out?
He's going to kill me for this. But LT, okay, we were on like a 4-game losing streak, and Coach Weich got our paychecks and called every one of us up to the front of the locker room in a team meeting to hand us our paychecks.
Yeah.
And when he got to LT, he goes, here you go, don't drop it.
No.
I kid you not.
Oh, that's not right.
That's LeVar. Oh, my God.
Oh, we got to write that one down, Big Stan.
Oh, man.
Did he have comments for every person as he handed
every guy
in front of the whole team?
Damn. Well, you know, some were good. Some were bad.
Right.
Some were, you know, next year we'll get you going. But, yes, everybody had a comment.
Unbelievable. Final
53
question.
Guys.
53. Wow, it sounds like a Gary Stevens meeting right there without the cigarette smoke. Okay, final question. You arrive on campus in Coral Gables. Steve Walsh is QB1. Then Heisman Trophy winner Vinny Testaverde is a starter at Tampa your rookie season. Then you go to Indy, and current Chargers head coach Jim Harbaugh was under center in Indianapolis during your one season there. And as discussed, of course, Dan the Man here in 1996. Not to mention Bernie, we can't leave out Bernie. Which of those incumbents had the most clout with their respective teams? Which would be the guy that would be the first one to let you crash on their couch after a late night drinking at the bar? And who would be the most likely to leave you, to stiff you with the tip when all of you went out to dinner at an expensive dinner?
Okay, in no particular order. I pick up the check with Steve.
Okay.
No, just kidding.
All right. But
Steve,
I was
Steve
all in.
Walsh. Steve Walsh was is a really good guy, but he was in college. I was a freshman. I was doing my own thing, right? So, I mean, we're friends and all, but you know, and I love Steve, and had a great career for a guy. You know, Steve almost didn't lose a game at University of Miami.
That's crazy. He
was on that Notre Dame. Cleveland Gary fumble that wasn't a fumble. Otherwise, Steve Walsh just never loses, you know?
Right.
I mean.
Yeah, but is he paying for dinner? That's what I'm asking. Sounds like no. Okay, go ahead. Yes, clout.
Gino Toretta, I pay for dinner.
Okay.
I mean, there's nobody like Dan Marino, guys. You know, I mean, as far as just being the guy, my favorite teammate who got me into most trouble was Steve DeBerg. In Tampa, and he was one of my mentors. Love Bernie. Bernie took care of me as a coming out of college. He was part of the QB club,
right?
When he was with the Cleveland Browns, invited me to his golf tournament, my first NFL golf tournament. Before I was injured, I wasn't even in the NFL. Bernie invited me up and to be hang out with Boomer and John Elway and Marino and whole nine yards, you know. So Bernie's, I'm forever grateful.
So you're crashing on Bernie's couch, it sounds like.
No, I crashed on Claire Marino's couch quite a bit.
Because
she would take my keys. She wouldn't let me drive. You are not going. Actually, it was in that back house he had over
right,
at Big House.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was over there one night with Darius Rucker, Danny, myself. I don't know who else. Probably Eddie P.
Right.
And Claire came in. She goes, No, you're not driving.
Thank goodness for Claire Marino. And that is the 2-minute drill. Craig, man, this was a blast.
That was so good, Craig, man. Thank you so much. Craig, thanks for diving in, man.
All right, guys. Thank you for having me, man.
Oh,
anytime.
Man.
Number one, of course, y'all. This ain't no ordinary sports talk. Never been that fish tank. Go get your aqua orange. Yeah, it's time to never been that fish tank.